This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Dr. Mark Welch. Mark is Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist in College Station. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Tony, always good to be with you. Thank you.
Let's talk corn for a moment. Talking about a feed grain, but we're also talking about a grain that's utilized heavily in ethanol. We've got a pretty robust export market as well. And some big questions right now with a pullback in corn prices. I think year over year, we're still in negative territory for corn, though a slight positive there for soybeans. As we start working the final decisions before planting here in 2026, is there anything kind of offering an opportunity? Is corn offering an opportunity right now? I mean, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think we are in a time of year that typically we would be leaning into maybe some better pricing prospects for our spring planted crops as you move from the harvest lows. You know, kind of got those behind us. This last year, we set them a little bit early. They actually put them in August instead of September and October when it comes to the corn market. And we start some of an upward trajectory in price for the next marketing year based on, the final supply numbers from the previous year's crop. Are those going to get, that crop going to get bigger, smaller based on final yield estimates and projections? And then for corn in particular for 2026, I think the discussion is going to turn very, very quickly. Once we get the final size of last year's crop kind of settled, let the dust settle around that question. How much corn are we going to plant next year? You know, in 2025, we had a huge increase in corn acres. If you, again, then think about in the Midwest and the Corn Belt where most of our corn comes from and really sets the price and direction for corn, you know, it's basically that switchback for corn and soybeans. So if it was corn this year, it'll be beans next year and vice versa. And so you would expect to see that pendulum, you know, swinging back, maybe favoring, you know, more soybean acres just because we got away from so many last year. The price relationship, as you just mentioned, you know, corn relative to soybeans, is if you plug those prices into a budget, say out of the University of Illinois, you know, soybeans may look a little more profitable for 2026 as well. So will that influence some of the acre swing back the other way? So my full intent or expectation is that we will see a reduction in corn acres for 2026. You know, and then the question becomes, well, then how much? And if you leave some of those other demand categories unchanged, that how much question is very, very important. Do we pull back to 95 million acres, 94, 93, 92? And just a couple of million acres makes a huge difference in what my price projection is going to be for 2026. That if we're going to see a reduction in how big that crop is going to be, it matters a lot. Of that acreage projection. So we'll get into February with the USDA Outlook Conference. We'll have a farmer survey of prospective plantings that will come out at the end of March. I think these are going to be very, the market will be very sensitive to the information that's presented at the Outlook Conference, at the prospective planting report, private industry estimates of acreage. I think it's going to be very important if we continue a trajectory maybe for some better pricing opportunities heading into the spring. Or like we did in the last, last year, we set the marketing year high in February. But there's a lot of other stuff going on in February too, with, you know, tariff impositions and trade disruptions. So it's lots of factors out there. But I do think, just with that acreage shift, it's going to create some dynamics for us in corn that could be more friendly, especially in the, late winter. And as we head into the spring planting season, until we get a bit better handle on corn acres for 2026.
We're talking with Dr. Mark Welch. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
If you're going to succeed, You need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report, talking with Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist. All right, Mark, let's talk stocks-to-use ratio. I like how you put this together.
The number I like to use, it's a stocks-to-use ratio, and we normally talk about that as a percentage of the percentage of the crop that we have in storage that we're carrying over when one marketing year to the next relative to the total amount of use in the marketing year. And the projection I like to use, or the number, the measure I like to use for that market sensitive piece of information, is days of use on hand at the end of the marketing year. And exactly what you said, how long can we live next year on the crop that was left over from last year? The current estimates for the U.S. corn crop is we're carrying over, you know, somewhere between, you know, 45, 46, 47 days of use. That's not a huge carryover, but it's enough. It's comfortable. It's certainly, you know, you get up to a 50-day carryover. That's pretty market depressing. When you drop that carryover in corn to 40 and below, then the market gets kind of nervous. If we're likely to see $5 corn, it tends to be in those conditions in which that carryover, that days of use on hand, drops below 40. And that's why that acreage estimate is so important right now for our projection for 2026. We plant 92 million acres of corn, and our use estimates kind of stay where they are right now. We're crowding that 40-day carryover with a normal yield. Of course, weather will have a lot to say about that. If we plant 95 million acres, now we can push that carryover back up to 50. So, again, which way we shift that days of use on hand is a critical to move the market needle. I think that's a very, very important number. And it's particularly important for corn because, again, the U.S. corn crop and that carryover level for U.S. corn drives the global market much more than it does, say, for wheat. But I do want to add one more comment about that. We use that same number globally. You don't have maybe those strong, you know, metrics like a 40-day for the global days of use on hand. But if you look at what's happening in the corn market, we've had record levels of corn production, and 2025 is a great example. Record U.S. corn crop, record world foreign corn production, just a big crop everywhere, and that had some price-depressing effects. But if you look at that world days of use on hand, it's still going down. So even in the face of record production, both domestically and foreign corn production, consumption of corn is still outpacing production at these record high levels, which then highlights to me if we do have a weather scare, a supply disruption or concern of any kind from a major producing area, I think these markets could be very sensitive and respond very quickly and with some degree of volatility to that, in that with these big, big crops, we're still not keeping up with the growth in consumption globally. So I think that's an undercurrent of these markets that, again, may give us some price support until we get more settled of just what 2026 is going to look like, both in the U.S. and around the world.
Our special guest today is Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension's grain marketing economist in College Station. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Dr. Mark Welch. Mark is Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist in College Station. Mark, as we wrap up, we've been dealing with, well, low commodity prices, high input prices, and for many producers, multiple years of losses. It's easy to be frustrated, to get down, and just wonder, why in the world do we keep doing this? Do you have any optimism?
You bet. And I do. I think there are some features of how a producer can craft that revenue safety net for 2026. We've got some options and some opportunities that we didn't have a year ago. There are some, government emergency support payments, that are likely to be coming very, very soon, and those are going to be important. Are they enough? We can argue about that, but they're still important. But then some of the provisions for crop insurance that are different for 2026, with the degree of cost sharing from the federal government for some of those programs, making them more friendly. That farmers, perhaps you can look at your opportunity to buy up levels, higher levels of revenue coverage than you've been able to do in the past. Maybe you're using some of these enhanced coverage options that in the past have been, maybe we couldn't even think about, they were so expensive. Well, maybe we need to look at those again. Again, with this new pricing structure, we might be able to incorporate some things like that that give us raises that base revenue floor. Participation in the farm programs, whether you're in the PLC program or ARC, the ARC program, the higher reference prices, better levels of revenue protection that are built into those programs for 2026. It's not enough perhaps in a tough year to make you whole, but it does provide a higher level of revenue coverage than we've had in the past. And so I think that can be very, very important. And then on top of that, then to be mindful of marketing opportunities that may present themselves. And again, we're early in the year. It's kind of a flat, kind of a doldrums in the market today as we're talking. But if we do see, rallies in the market, spikes in prices that may give us an opportunity to do a little better, to get something in place on the marketing side. And so we've established a better safety net and we take advantage of these marketing opportunities as they unfold. Then I think we can start to craft and put together, a marketing plan and a marketing program that starts to make kind of sense. You're still got to make a crop if we can, but at least have those provisions in place. If the weather turns against us, if the markets stay tough, that we still have some degree of protection on the downside. And to me, the opportunity to craft that for 2026 is a much more favorable elements than we had a year ago. And then combine that with somebody, keep an eye on these markets, capture these opportunities as they come along. I think there's still some possibilities here to make 2026. I don't know if there's so many things that are uncertain and can unfold, but certainly some opportunities that maybe this 2026 can still work out all right for us, even though it maybe looks kind of tough right now.
Dr. Mark Welch, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Grain Marketing Economist in College Station on today's Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be,
But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.